Well, greetings again. It's good again to be able to share with you today in what the Lord has been laying on my heart to speak about today. And I'm wanting us in our message today to think about the fact that God is able. We've had a real rough couple of years, and sometimes when I think of all the things that we've had to face over the last couple of years, I've often wondered, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? And I'm sure many have felt a little bit like that, wondering about whether God is able. But the scriptures remind us all the time, friends, that God is able. I was reminded just of as we were leading up to Easter and during this time when we thought about the Lord's resurrection and ascension, that even as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, friends, he reminded us that he was able to even make the stones praise him. And we should never forget that. But let's have a word of prayer first. Lord, as we again, draw strength from your word today. We really need courage from time to time, Lord. Sometimes we feel that we're at our own wit's end and we need to depend upon you. And we just give you all the thanks for that. Thank you that we're able to do that. Give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at a number of verses today where it talks about that God is able. God is able. So the first thing I want to remind us of today is God is able to save us. You remember the story of the three friends of Daniel in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the were threatened to be thrown into the fire. And I just love that response of theirs. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, they said in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King Darius. Friends, that the passage carries on to talk about the fact that even if he doesn't, they still wouldn't bow down to the king. But that wonderful statement, God is able to save us. Friends, I wonder if we have that absolute confidence in God. The book of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Friends, what a great encouragement. God's able to save us. We don't need to depend upon ourselves. We don't need to try and save ourselves, friends, or any other thing that we're doing. We just need to depend on God's ability to save us. The problem, friends, is that a lot of us don't really believe that. We kind of think, well, yeah, God can save, but maybe at some other stage. The story is told of a fictitious thing when one day the devil and his army were devising a plan to get God's people to reject the gospel. One of the demons suggested, let's go to them and try and say to them there's no God. Well, the rest of them looked around. Every devil knew that deep down, most people believed that there is a God. They may not believe it in the way that the Bible had, but everybody believes there is a God. Well, another of the demons suggested, let's tell them there's no hell, no future punishment for the wicked. They can just do what they like. Well, even that suggestion was turned down because The reality is, friends, most people have a conscience. Although sometimes you wonder about that, but most people have a conscience. They've got a line in the sand where they're not going to kind of cross. Well, they were coming to the end of their discussion and nobody had any good ideas, except one of them suggested, let's tell them there's a God, tell them there's a hell, and tell them there's a Bible is the word of God. But give them plenty of time to decide when they will become a Christian. Let them just forget about it. Decide some other stage. They can depend upon themselves. The rest of the demons rejoiced because they knew that if a person procrastinates in making a decision about Jesus, he probably never will accept him. Friends, God's able to save you. You know, there's no doubt about it. You don't have to put off putting your faith and trust in Christ. God is able to save. And turn to him now. There's no reason why not. Friends, you never know when your moment is going to arrive and the Lord's going to come to take you to be with him. That moment can happen in the blink of an eye. Secondly, our God is able not only to save us, but he's able to make us stand. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And the book of Hebrews again reminds us, Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted. Because he suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Friends, sometimes we kind of discouraged, don't we? Sometimes we wonder whether we're able to take anything more. What more can come our way, Lord? Friends, we need to be reminded that God is able to give us the strength. God is able to give us the confidence to carry on. The story is told of the great American painter John Sargent. Once he painted a panel of roses. It was highly praised. It wasn't a very big picture, but it approached perfection. He was offered one of the highest prices on many occasions. Yet, John Sargent refused to sell it. He considered that little picture of roses his best work. He was very proud of it. Whenever he was discouraged, whenever he doubted his abilities as an artist, he would look at that little painting and remind himself, I painted that. And that gave him the confidence and ability to carry on painting. Friends, you see, our strength doesn't lie in our ability. Friend, our strength lies in what God has made us to be. He himself is able to help you who are being tempted. We will fail. We will mess up. But friends, it doesn't matter if we fail or mess up, because our salvation doesn't depend upon our faithfulness. It depends upon God's faithfulness. God is the one who's able to make us stand, able to make us stand before him, redeemed, ready to meet him for all eternity. Friends, don't look at your failures. Look at what God has done in your life. You may not be the person you want to be, but friends, you're not the person you were. And that is something we should never forget. We are more than what we were, because God, friends, wants us to stand in Him. How does He do that? Well, that leads us to the third one. God is able to establish us. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and proclamation of Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past." Friends, Christ is the one who's able to change us. He's the one who gives us the peace, that deep inner peace that only Christ can give. That's what a Christian is who's established. There's a deep-seated peace within their hearts and their lives. A rich man once walked past a fisherman who was just sitting lazily beside his boat. He said to him, "Why aren't you fishing?" The fisherman said, "I've caught enough fish for today." Well, the rich man said, "Why don't you go and catch some more than you need?" The fisherman said, "What would I do with them?" The rich man said, "Well, you could earn some more money, buy a better boat, then you could go deeper into the sea and catch some more fish. You could purchase bigger nets, you could catch even more fish and make more money. Soon you'll have a whole fleet of boats and be rich like me." And then the fisherman said, "What would you do then?" Well, he said, "Then you could sit down and enjoy life." Well, the fisherman said, "Well, I'm doing that right now." You see, friends, that's the difference between the person established in God and the person depending on their own strength. The person who's resting and established in God, friends, has a deep inner peace. We're not chasing after unnecessary dreams. Friends, we're doing the best we can. We're reaching out the best we can, but we're trusting God to do the best He can through us. Friends, God is the one who's able to establish you in His gospel, give you deep inner peace that only God can do. Number four, God is able to make all grace abound to us. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work." During this last week, I was reminded, and I was in my devotions, I was talking about the Great Commission, and the Great Commission ends off with that wonderful promise of Jesus, "And I will be with you always to the very end of the age." I've always interpreted that phrase as the time when Jesus is going to be with us. Jesus is going to be with us always, wherever, you know, all the time. That's what I kind of always, that's what I understood it to me. But as I was looking into it and studying it and preparing it for devotion, I discovered that really the word should be pronounced, "And I will be with you in all ways unto the very end of the age." So He's not only with us in time, but friends, He's with us in all circumstances. He's with us in all that we need. He's with us all the time, yes, but friends, he's with us in every way. When we're happy or sad, friends, God's able to make all grace abound to us. Stories told of Billy Graham driving through a small little town, and he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. Well, Billy Graham admitted his guilt. He thought he'd just pay a fine, but the police officer told him he has to appear in court. Well, he went to the court, and the judge was just writing his paper, and all he just said, guilty or not guilty? Billy Graham answered, I'm guilty. He said, that'll be, of course he's American, he said, that'll be $10, $1 for every mile that you're over the speed limit. Well, the judge suddenly recognized the voice of the famous minister. He said, you've broken the law, Mr. Graham. The fine must be paid, but don't worry. I'm going to pay it for you. He took the $10 out of his own wallet, attached it to the ticket, gave it to Mr. Graham, and on top of it, took him out for a steak dinner or lunch. Billy Graham said to the judge, that, Mr. Judge, is how God treats us repentant sinners. Friends, God gives us all grace that we need. He doesn't only find us guilty of our sin, but friends, he pays it and then provides the dinner after paying the fine as well. Friends, God is able to make all grace abound to us. Number five. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. That beautiful passage in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Friends, we don't deserve all God does for us. When a person works for 8 hours a day and they receive their pay at the end of the day, that's called a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's called a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for long service or high achievements, that's called an award. But when a person is not able to earn a wage, can't win a prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that, friend, is God doing immeasurably more than we could ever think or ask. Friend, that is unmerited favor. That's what that verse is all about, friends. We can't earn our way into heaven. We can't win our way into heaven. We can't work our way into heaven. Friends, we've just got to accept the incredible gift, all that God does for us, all the blessings he gives to us, friends. It's when we realize that we have nothing other than depending upon his grace that we truly can appreciate what God has done in our lives. Number six, and importantly, our God is able to guard that which we entrust to Him for that day. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted Him to that day." Friends, on Wednesday afternoon, I stood at the bedside of Louise Lindemann, a member of our congregation, who was in a critical health situation, and could just briefly chat with her about where she was standing and what was happening with her. But what peace I could see again in her life. As I shared with her that verse out of the Great Commission, that God can be with you in all ways. Friends, the peace that I saw in her eyes as I just prayed with her and just committed her into the hands of the Lord. The doctors wouldn't think she'd make the night, but she made the night and passed in surgery the next day, or was recognized in surgery that she wasn't going to make it. But friends, what a great testimony. What a great testimony. This is a story of a famous preacher called W.B. Hinson. He spoke of how he felt just before he died. He wrote this: "I remember a year ago when a doctor told me, 'You have an illness from which you won't recover.' I walked to where I live, about 8 kilometers. I looked across the mountain that I loved. I looked at the river in which I rejoiced. I looked at the stately trees that are there, always God's own poetry to the soul. Then in the evening, I looked up at the great sky where God had lit the lamps. And I said, 'I may not see you more for many years, but mountain, I'll be alive when you are gone. And river, I'll be alive when you've ceased running into the sea. And stars, I'll be alive when you have fallen from your sockets into the great downpulling of the material universe.'" Friends, that was Paul's talking about. God is able to guard that which we've entrusted to Him. Friends, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but His word will not pass away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but we're not going to pass away, friends, because we've entrusted ourselves into the hands of God Himself. And finally, God is able to keep us from falling. Again, this wonderful verse in Jude chapter 1. "To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore." God is able to keep us from falling. Friends, the Greeks had a race as part of the Olympic Games. The race was not won by the person who finished first necessarily. The race was won who finished with a torch that was still lit. You see, there were many who carried flames of fire, the torch of part of the Olympic race. And as they ran, that torch was not meant to blow out. And friends, that's what we should be doing. Friends, God is able to help us run in such a way. It doesn't matter if we finish first, friends. Doesn't matter where we finish in the race. The thing is, we must run and in such a way that the flame is still burning at the end. To him who is able to keep you from falling. Friend, only God can keep us from doing that. Only God can give us the strength to face every day. Sometimes it may feel like the flame's gonna blow out. But friends, only God can keep you strong right to the end. Our God, friends, is able. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're able. There's nothing that you're not able to do. You're able because you're the living God. You're able because you're the all-powerful God. You're able, Lord, because there is none like you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you, friends. Go out in strength and remember, God is able.